Res Radio 91.3 is KOPA Pala. Coming up, earthquakes, a tree down, and a power outage, none of which have anything to do with each other, and all of which are overshadowed by the bomb dropped on opponents of Lilac Hills Ranch. Also, swimming the Catalina Channel before you're old enough to drive. And San Diego Supervisor Dave Roberts will not have his day in court, but the Temecula man accused of chasing a Girl Scout off his porch at gunpoint will. Again. It's 12 noon. I'm John, and this is Paula Today for Wednesday, September 16th, 2015. The proposed Lilac Hills Ranch development has cleared a hurdle, but the county is raising the height of the next one. After a 9-hour marathon meeting at County Planning Commission headquarters in San Diego Friday, members voted 4-3 to approve the controversial project east of I-15 near old Highway 395 exit. But planners have put some expensive conditions on that approval. Developer Accretive Investments will be required to fund a new fire station or expand the existing Miller station. Not just the construction, they'll have to create a community facilities district and fund a 3-person crew, too. They'll also have to provide the land and funding for a new elementary school and donate a 30-foot buffer along West Lilac Road to ensure there won't be any eminent domain issues with neighbors when the street gets widened to handle the new residents of those 1,746 homes. Improvements to the district's sewage treatment plant will have to be paid for and completed by the time the first 100 homes are built. The accompanying commercial village will have to be built by the time the 1,000th home is built, and there will have to be a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit in the development. Even these concessions to those who question intensive development so far from an urban center don't mean the 600-acre high-density project is a done deal. The Planning Commission simply advises county supervisors. The supervisory vote is the one that matters. Bill Horn and Greg Cox favor Lilac Hills Ranch. Diane Jacob and Dave Roberts don't. That leaves Ron Roberts as the swing vote. Supervisors will also have to change the county general plan. Valley Center Community Planning Group Chairman Oliver Smith expressed disappointment at the county planning vote, saying it pushes aside the 12 years and $16 million it took to create the current 4-year-old GP, but many of the development's opponents were pleased with the added conditions of approval that will ensure the developer pays full fare for the creation of Lilac Hills Ranch and all accompanying services. San Diego County supervisors decided yesterday it was in the best interest of taxpayers to settle claims against Supervisor Dave Roberts by 3 former staff members for a total of $310,000 rather than go to court. The potential for claims of over $1 million, combined with the findings of an investigation into charges against Roberts, plus the cost of retaining outside legal counsel for him at county expense, led the remaining members of the board to decide to cut their losses. The internal investigation, though not conclusive, showed inappropriate use of county funds, promoting a hostile work environment, evidence of bribery, campaigning on county time, improper use of a county vehicle, and retaliation against District 3 staff members. The board concluded that, at minimum, Supervisor Roberts showed poor judgment. The retrial of a Temecula man accused of pointing a gun at a 7-year-old Girl Scout selling cookies is being delayed due to scheduling conflicts for the judge and a key witness. Proceedings were supposed to get underway today in the case against 60-year-old John Michael Dodrill. The first jury deadlocked in March, voting 9-3 to convict the man who claimed self-defense against what he thought were gang members trying to rush his front door. He claims he never saw the child. The Morongo Band of Mission Indians has become the first tribe to join the Western Riverside Council of Governments as a voting member. They joined 17 member cities, including Temecula and Murrieta, and 2 water districts, in having a say on regional transportation and environmental issues. There are 5 other tribes within the WRCOG's sphere of influence, including Pechanga, Saboba, Cahuilla, Ramona, and Santa Rosa. The Oceanside Unified School District is considering combining efforts with the prestigious Santa Ana-based charter school, the Oceanside County School of the Arts. They're thinking of restructuring 2 elementary schools and Jefferson Middle School, which has recently seen a big drop in enrollment. Under the plan, the Jefferson campus would house a K-6th grade arts magnet school operated by Oceanside and a 7th-12th grade arts and music charter school operated by OC. Other options being considered include creating an Oceanside-run K-8 academy focusing on science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. If approved, the changes could begin in August. Community meetings about the proposal are planned for 6:15 p.m. this evening at Laurel Elementary and tomorrow at 5:30 at Mission Elementary and Jefferson campuses. CHP took a report about 11 a.m. this morning of a large oak tree down in Fallbrook at Via del Cielo and Gird Road blocking the entire roadway. About 85 homes may be affected by a planned power outage tomorrow in Paula from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. SDG&E will be replacing a power pole. Property owners affected have been notified. There were a pair of mild earthquakes last night near Brawley and another slightly larger one this morning in Big Bear. That one hit at 9:10 a.m. and was originally reported as 4.5 on the Richter scale. Later downgraded to 4.0, it was centered about 8 miles south of Big Bear Lake. The quakes near Brawley were 3 to 4 miles south of town between 10:20 and 10:30 last night and measured 3.3 and 2.9. No reports of damage from any of the three shakers. And the 7-member teenage girls swim team we told you about last month completed their planned relay from Catalina Island to Palos Verdes over the weekend. After training for 20 months, the team known as Ocean 7 became the youngest group ever to make the journey and recorded the second-best relay time ever for a female team, 7 hours, 51 minutes, 37 seconds. They were worried about sharks, but their problem turned out to be jellyfish. Team members were stung repeatedly during the overnight swim. The goal? Raising $10,000 for Fresh Start Surgical Gifts, a nonprofit that helps children with deformities. The team actually raised $15,000, and the donations are still rolling in.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Investigators say the Carpenter Road fire burning in Washington State was human-caused. Steve Jackson has more.
The fire broke out on the Spokane Indian Reservation on August the 13th and initially was fought by a reservation crew. Since then, numerous fire agencies have been working on that blaze, which has destroyed 42 structures and burned over 65,000 acres. Officials of the Bureau of Indian Affairs say they believe that fire was intentionally set. BIA spokesman Tom Labanino says in addition to the property damage, those responsible could face charges in connection with the death of one resident there.
So that's always possible. You know, it depends on how law enforcement interprets it and how, how the laws are interpreted. He was in the process of evacuating, had a heart attack, and the fire got between him and the first responders, and they couldn't get to him in time.
The public is being asked to help law enforcement by reporting any information they may know related to the Carpenter Road fire. For National Native News, I'm Steve Jackson reporting from Spokane.
A Lakota tribal member has joined the ranks of athletes in the South Dakota Senior Games Hall of Fame. As Jim Kent reports, Wally Little Moon has been running for half a century and has no plans to stop anytime soon.
Wally Little Moon was born and raised on the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation. His first taste for running long distances came while attending high school and continued when he moved to Kansas to attend Haskell Indian School. As Little Moon explains, he's been running ever since.
I really love running, and when I get out on the road, it's almost like a church for me. I pray. A lot of people, a lot of friends, relatives and friends died on the road, you know. And that's where I get my strength.
The Lakota Elder has run in the South Dakota Senior Games since 2000. He also competed in 4 National Senior Games and the 2005 Huntsman World Senior Games in Utah. Little Moon was inducted into the South Dakota Senior Games Hall of Fame earlier this month during this year's biennial competition in Aberdeen, South Dakota. He joins 58 other South Dakota seniors who've been recognized for their athletic achievements as part of the games since 1984. Called the legend by his people, Wally Little Moon says his induction into the South Dakota Senior Games Hall of Fame came as a complete surprise. Little Moon adds that he doesn't run for recognition. He runs for the strength it gives his spirit. I'm Jim Kent.
U.S. senators are examining the Gold King Mine waste spill. The Senate Environment and Public Works Committee held a hearing this morning at the request of Colorado and New Mexico senators. The Senate Committee on Indian Affairs has a hearing scheduled this afternoon. Tribes were among those impacted by the August spill caused by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. A Navajo woman was among those honored as champions of change by the White House Tuesday. Amanda Tuchin discussed mentorship during a panel session. She's involved with the Native SOAR program, or Student Outreach, Access, and Resiliency. Native graduate students mentor mostly college students, who then help guide high school students.
As we're little ones, as my little kids are here, they're already taught to think of others before themselves. It was just what we were raised to be like and to do. And so for these college students who come onto campus, they're like wanting to do some great stuff to get a degree, but they also know that they want to give back to their community. So honestly, it's not too hard to get them involved in Native SOAR, because if they can help a future Native get into college, man, it's just so powerful. It's part of their teaching. It's part of their worldview and how they see things. And so I just get the privilege and the honor to see and inspire and be inspired by them too.
The postdoctoral scholar at Arizona State University says being a good mentor and connecting with students takes just being yourself. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, and by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
Support by WanderingBold.com, providing American Indian crafts and supplies since 1969. Shipping nationwide, virtually everything you need to powwow is at WanderingBold.com. Holiday delivery on orders placed by December 15th.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
11 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Paula Today on Res Radio 91.3. No problems on the roads. Freeways all moving smoothly right now.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
In Major League Baseball, the Padres lost at Arizona 6-4 last night. There were a ton of one-run games yesterday, two of them involving the L.A. teams. The Dodgers lost to the Rockies 5-4, and the Angels beat the Mariners in Seattle 4-3. David Murphy hit a three-run homer to take the lead in the third, and Mike Trout added what turned out to be the winning solo shot in the sixth. The Texas Rangers' 6-5 victory over the Astros last night pushes them ahead of Houston by a half game for first place in the AL West. The Pirates beat the Cubs 5-4, and the Cubs returned the favor by beating the Bucks 2-1 in the nightcap of a doubleheader. Baltimore over Boston 6-5, Braves beat the Blue Jays 3-2, Tigers over the Twins 5-4, and the Reds beat the Giants 9-8. Apparently somebody issued a memo about giving the fans their money's worth yesterday. All three SoCal teams series conclude today. In the NFL, Chargers next game Sunday in Cincinnati. Joe Gibbs Racing will be the team to beat in this year's 10-race playoff series known as the Chase for the Sprint Cup. On Saturday, Matt Kenseth completed his fourth win of the season at Richmond, Virginia. That puts him in a tie with JGR teammate Kyle Busch and six-time champion Jimmy Johnson as top seeds in the chase. The 16-driver field was finally set in the regular season finale with four spots remaining undecided at the start of the race. The chase includes three rounds leading up to the November 22nd finale at Homestead, Miami. A win automatically advances a driver to the next round. Four drivers are eliminated after every third race. Local high school sports at Bonsall, cross country at High Tech, North County, and San Marcos today. Fallbrook, JV field hockey hosting Great Oak at 4. Valley Center High, tennis at High Tech North County at 3:30, field hockey hosting University City beginning at 3:30, and at Great Oak in Temecula, tennis against Linfield Christian at 3:15 with JV hosting and varsity away, and water polo at Patrick Henry beginning at 3:30. In business, stocks are showing modest across-the-board gains today. Gold rallied for its largest one-day price gain in a month, up almost $19 to $1,121.40 an ounce. Oil is up more than 5% as inventories fall. November Brent crude futures rose more than $2 to almost $50 a barrel. Traders seem to be banking on the idea of declining U.S. crude production and the chance that the Fed will leave rates alone. BMW has announced it will convert all models it manufactures to electric drivetrains within the next decade. This includes all-electric with range-extending engines and plug-in hybrids. This in response to a coming series of strict EU carbon emissions laws. It's a huge shift for a car maker who only just last year introduced its first eco-friendly alternative fuel I-Series vehicle. Research consulting firm Navigant does not foresee there being more than a million EVs on the road within 10 years, and as of 2014, that total was below 200,000. Driving range seems to be the limiting factor to widespread consumer acceptance. Those who rent their homes are facing the biggest increase in housing costs in 7 years. The average U.S. rent rose for the 58th straight month in August, with prices up 3.6% in the past year. That's the highest year-to-year increase since 2008. There's been growing demand for rentals and a shrinking supply of available units. Builders have recently ramped up construction of condos, townhomes, and other rental properties, but not enough yet to slow the increase in prices. Millennials have confounded the industry by preferring rentals, even though they're increasingly able to purchase if they choose to. The building that used to house the San Marcos Lowe's Home Improvement Center is nearing completion from being remodeled into a Hobby Lobby and San Diego County's first Winco supermarket. The Idaho-based chain has been slowly making its way into Southern California through Riverside and San Bernardino counties for almost a decade. The city of San Marcos bought the building when Lowe's vacated 2 years ago. The 11-year-old building brought in about $3.4 million in revenue last year. That's expected to increase to 5.3 million next year. Hobby Lobby and Winco are expected to open next month. Here's today's consumer advice from ConsumerAffairs.com.
There are new safety standards in the works for those little laundry pods that have caused a lot of problems. Thousands of infants have swallowed the pods, which look like candy. There have been several deaths, hundreds of hospitalizations, so manufacturers are agreeing to more protective packaging and other safety measures meant to keep the pods out of tiny mouths. The feds have ordered R.J. Reynolds to stop selling four cigarette brands, Camel Crush Bold, Pall Mall Deep Set, Recess Filter, Pall Mall Deep Set Recess Filter Menthol, and Vantage Tech 13. The Food and Drug Administration says the cigarette brands were changed without notice. Amazon's been dominating home delivery lately, but Target's striking back. It's already teamed up with Instacart, a delivery company, to launch home grocery delivery. So far, it's operating only in Minneapolis, where delivery costs $3.99 and is supposed to happen in an hour or less. If it works well, look for it in your city soon. I'm Stacey Cohen. You can learn more at ConsumerAffairs.com.
Believe it or not, in spite of the drought, or maybe because of it, water supplies in San Diego County are on the rise. In fact, they're now at 99% of normal. Since water conservation became the law in California in May, the county's water providers have had to store in reservoirs 13.7 billion gallons of water that previously might have been purchased and used by homeowners, agriculture, and other businesses. According to the San Diego County Water Authority, all of the excess is going into the recently expanded San Vicente Reservoir. The new Carlsbad desalination plant will add even more to the surplus this fall. There's currently no shortage of water available to agencies within the district. The only shortage is mandated by emergency state conservation laws, and San Diego can't sell its surplus to other regions. There's no mechanism in place for transfers or sales. Meanwhile, the cost of water to consumers goes up because mandated lower usage means less revenue for districts whose costs are mostly fixed in maintenance and improvements to infrastructure, like the $416 million just spent on San Vicente Dam. General Manager of the Valley Center Municipal Water District, Gary Arendt, says it makes no sense to beat up customers who have funded billions of dollars worth of supply and storage improvements and not even allow them to use the available water, says Arendt. We don't have the same degree of water supply shortages that the rest of the state does. Whether San Diego ever gets to use its reserves for anything hinges mainly on whether state conservation measures continue past their scheduled expiration date at the end of this coming February, or if predicted El Niño rains necessitate the release of water from full reservoirs. And when is a rose not a rose? Developer Michael Schlesinger's Stuck in the Rough LLC, the owner of the former Escondido Country Club, finally reached an agreement with the San Diego Air Pollution Control District over the dumping of chicken manure on the former fairways a year ago after neighboring homeowners launched their initiative to block his plans to build on the land, an apparent tit-for-tat retaliation. The APCD had threatened to fine Schlesinger for poisoning the earth with the stench from the manure. That battle by the homeowners and city of Escondido to halt the development was eventually lost in court, though the full terms of agreement with the city have yet to be finalized. However, last week, Schlesinger agreed to pay the APCD $100,000 for his little manure tantrum, in exchange for which he admits no guilt. But as columnist Logan Jenkins pointed out in the UT San Diego, the war of words continues. APCD Director Robert Card said the fine for dumping raw manure on dead former fairway grass was a fair resolution. Schlesinger's lawyer, however, took umbrage with that statement, saying the substance wasn't manure, but rather soil enhancer, and that the fine was not a fine, but in fact a donation to improve regional air quality. Therefore, the flinging of poop from the chicken coop was actually a benevolent act by a green philanthropist. God bless lawyers. Here's more environmental news from Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lazowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Climate change is often presented in the language of science. For example, an online search for how climate change will affect the iconic Maine lobster turns up pages of articles full of statistics. But for a more engaging look at the topic, the animated video, A Climate Calamity in the Gulf of Maine, The Lobster Pot Heats Up, may be just the thing. Here's a clip about the impact of warmer water on lobsters.
As ocean temperatures rise, they become stressed and more vulnerable to shell diseases and parasites.
Looks like something from out of The Walking Dead.
Producer Andy O'Brien explains why O Chang Studios created an animated video for such a serious topic.
We really wanted to make this sort of ordinarily dry scientific data accessible and engaging.
Funded by NOAA Sea Grant, the video explains the current lobster boom and how climate change is projected to affect lobsters in the future. it's being shown in classrooms, which O'Brien considers a win.
Children haven't necessarily made up their minds about everything. They're still learning about how the world works, and I think that this is a good opportunity to reach out to them with a fun, sort of entertaining cartoon about a pretty alarming issue.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
Now some things that happened on this day in history.
On this day, September 16th at 1810, Mexican Roman Catholic priest Miguel Gregorio Antonio Ignacio Hidalgo y Costillo Gallaga Mondarte Villaseñor, more commonly known as Father Hidalgo, issued a historic rallying cry to motivate and mobilize indigenous Mexicans in the town of Dolores near Guanajuato to rise up in opposition to the Spanish occupiers. Hidalgo delivered a short speech known as El Grito de Dolores, or the Cry of Dolores. Hidalgo then led an armed insurrection which began the Great Mexican War of Independence. Speaking of colonial occupiers, in 1893, a strip of land in Oklahoma that had been taken from the Osage people by the U.S. government and given to the Cherokees was opened to settlement by a new group of non-natives. Close to 100,000 people gathered at the Oklahoma border to await a starting gunshot at noon, whereupon they raced on foot and horseback to stake their claims. The country of Malaysia was founded on this day in 1963 as a federation of several smaller provinces, Malaya, Sabah, Sarawak, and Singapore, all of which had been under British control after being liberated from the Japanese during World War II. Singapore later seceded amicably. Malaysia is now a democratic republic with a Muslim majority. In 1982 on this day, Christian militias allied with Israel and under Israeli Army Command began a three-day massacre operation against two Palestinian refugee camps inside Lebanon. Israeli tanks surrounded the villages of Sabra and Shatia to prevent anyone from leaving, and then stood guard while the Christian phalangists killed over 1,000 Palestinian and Lebanese residents, most of whom were unarmed. An official Israeli government inquiry found that Israel had some responsibility for the massacres, which the UN General Assembly condemned as genocide. In 1986, more than 170 miners working nearly 3 miles underground in the Kinross gold mine in South Africa were killed when a welder's torch ignited some foam waterproofing insulation, which produced a poisonous gas when it burned. And speaking of poison gases, an international agreement was drafted at a conference of industrial nations in Montreal on this day in 1987, which placed gradual limits on the production and use of chlorofluorocarbon gases, which were commonly used as refrigerants and aerosol propellants. The gases known as CFCs were proven to be a contributing factor to ozone depletion in the Earth's stratosphere. And those are just some of the events in world history that took place on this day, September 16th. This Day in History is a production of the Neighborhood Network in Columbus, Ohio. I'm Evan Davis.
Programming on Res Radio 91.3 is made possible in part by the Pala Band of Mission Indians and donations from listeners like you. Call the Pala Fire Department at 760-742-1632 before starting any open fires to get the day's CAL FIRE and APCD recommendations. Tomorrow's Pala Senior Lunch menu, meatloaf, mac and cheese, broccoli, salad, and cookies. The Pala Band of Mission Indians has a number of employment opportunities, including full and part-time. For the list, go to palatribe.com/career-opportunities. Like us at facebook.com/resradio for the fun stuff, and follow us at twitter.com/@resradiofm. Pala weather, mostly sunny this afternoon, high of 76, warming into the weekend. It'll be 90 by Saturday, 95 Sunday and Monday, dropping to the upper 80s Tuesday. Overnight lows will fall into the upper 50s tonight, but gradually warm back to the upper 60s by early next week. Here's today's Pala Community Calendar. There's a Start Smart driving class at Valley Center High School tomorrow in the Media Center, 6:30 p.m., open to all grades. You need it for a parking permit. Contact the Sheriff's Department for more information, 760-751-4400. Services are being held this week in memory of Vivian Mendoza, burning at Viv's home on Rigetti Road, Wednesday, September 16th at dusk, Rosary Friday, September 18th, 7 p.m. at Mission San Antonio de Pala, funeral Saturday, September 19th, 10 a.m. at the Mission, with burial at Pala Cemetery and a luncheon at Pala Administration Building to follow. This year's Saboba Powwow is Friday through Sunday, September 18th through 20th at Saboba Event Center in San Jacinto. For information, saboba-nsn.gov. Conversational language classes in Patnahil are offered every other Tuesday from 2:30 to 4:30 at the Pala Admin Building, Main Hall. Classes are free and open to everyone. Next class, September 22nd. For information, contact the Pala Tribal Secretary's Office, 760-891-3516. A class in CPR, first aid, and defibrillation use is being offered at Pala Fire Station Saturday, September 26th from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Contact Scott Aliens to reserve a seat, 760-742-1632. The annual chicken pot pie dinner to raise funds for the maintenance and preservation of historic Ritchie Schoolhouse on Live Oak Park Road in Fallbrook is Saturday, September 26th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Tickets can be purchased at Major Market in Fallbrook or call 760-723-6601. The 7th Annual English Motors of Fairbrook Car Show is Sunday, September 27th from 8 a.m. through mid-afternoon at Fairbrook Farms on South Mission Road in Fallbrook. 150 cars and motorcycles will be on display along with 20 vendors. Admission is free. Website, englishmotors@fairbrook.org. The next Tribes for Christ Food Bank and Clothing Drive is Monday, September 28th at La Jolla Tribal Hall Gym from 3 to 4 p.m. For information, call 760-742-1481. The 10th Annual Fire Prevention Open House at Paula Fire Station is Saturday, October 3rd from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. There'll be a barbecue, helicopter demonstration, kids' activities, tours of the station, and a chance to sit in a fire truck. Res Radio will broadcast live from the event. Call 760-742-1632 for info. This year's Fallbrook Harvest Fair includes pumpkin contest, petting zoo, pony and hay rides, and the announcement of winners of this year's Scarecrow Contest. And it's Sunday, October 18th from 10 to 4 all over downtown Fallbrook. FallbrookChamberOfCommerce.org to find out more. The 3rd Annual San Diego American Indian Film Festival begins November 19th at Cal State San Marcos. Website, sdaiff.com. There's a crochet club meeting every Tuesday from 5 to 7 p.m. at Paula Administration Building. Call the Tribal Secretary's office for info, 760-891-3517. Roadrunners Walking Club meets every Tuesday and Thursday morning from 9 to 10 at Rincon Baseball Park. And there's circuit training at 15 workout stations Mondays and Wednesdays at 9 a.m. at Paula Youth Center. Everybody welcome. Call Alyssa at IHC for information on either 760-749-1410, extension 5263. Paula Raceway has new hours. Gates are now open 8 to 6 Fridays through Tuesdays, closed Wednesdays and Thursdays. For information, go to Instagram and search official Paula Raceway. Paula Skate Park is open to BMX riders only from 2 until dusk, Wednesdays and Sundays. All other days are skateboarding only. Call Paula Fitness Center for information at 760-891-3503 for that. And interval training classes offered Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings, and chair aerobics on Tuesday and Thursday mornings. Basket weaving classes are offered twice a month, Sundays from 2 to 4 at Paula Old Tribal Hall. Call Koopa Cultural Center for information, 760-891-3590. Enrollment is now open for Paula Little Feathers Preschool, and free GED and high school math tutoring is available by appointment only at Paula Library. For information on either program, call Paula Learning Center, 760-742-1997. Al-Anon meetings are Monday evenings at 7:30, and Narcotics Anonymous meets Thursdays at 7 at Paula Admin. Indian Health Council runs a domestic violence support group Tuesday afternoons from 3 to 5:30, and a pain management support group Wednesday mornings from 10 to 11 at IHC on Gulch Road in Rincon. From noon to 3 Wednesdays in the Dreamweaver Room, it's Stitch to Wellness, a crafting and discussion group covering different health topics each week. There's also a wellness workshop the fourth Wednesday of every month from 1 to 2 at Paula Admin with games, crafts, informational presentations, and snacks. You can find out about all of these at IndianHealth.com or by calling 760-749-1410, extension 5246. If you missed that or any other phone number or website, you can find that information at our website, paulatribe.com. At Paula Casino and Resort at Infinity, Tuesday afternoons, the 60 Plus Club from 11 till 3 with a live show at 1. Tuesday, September 22nd, Rebecca Jade's tribute to Sade. Tuesday, September 29th, Mark Barnett, tribute to Roy Orbison. October 6th, Bethany Owen, female impressionist. And October 13th, Heartache Tonight, tribute to the Eagles. At Infinity Saturday night, tribute shows at 8, followed by Club Infinity until 1. Saturday, September 19th, Aegis Filipino Concert. Saturday, September 26th, Skynyrd Reloaded, tribute to Lynyrd Skynyrd. October 3rd, Masters of Puppets, tribute to Metallica. At the Wine Cave, live jazz and acoustic weekends at 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday, the 18th and 19th, Mark Langford. At Louis Ray's, free live music at 7. On Friday and Saturday, September 18th and 19th, Fresh. At Paula Event Center, Saturday, October 10th, Colin Mockery and Brad Sherwood. Saturday, October 17th, Mike Epps. November 28th, the Vietnamese Concert. December 4th and 5th, Kathy Griffin. And December 11th, Eric Burden and the Animals. At Starlight Outdoor Theater, Friday, September 25th, Rascal Flatts. Saturday, September 26th, Wanda Sykes. The Paula Community Calendar can be heard three times daily, 7:25 in the morning, 12:25, and 5:25 in the afternoon. If you have any items for the calendar, email the details to 91.3 at paulatribe.com and be sure we get that at least a week before the event.
It's with you, ma. Number two on the way, Paula.
Res Radio 91.3.